Greetings, podcast listeners. This is Dan with Spark R&D, and I am here to bring you episode 5 of the Spark R&D podcast. This is our Manufacturing Day podcast. Manufacturing Day 2017 is October 6th this fall. Manufacturing Day is a celebration of modern manufacturing meant to inspire the next generation of manufacturers out there. So in honor of that, we invited our assistant machine shop manager, Ethan Marcoux, onto the podcast. Ethan is a rad dude, and in our conversation, we talked about his beginnings here at Spark R&D. We talked about his interests that led him to being a mechanical engineer. We also spoke about what he likes most about working out in the shop and just his overall job here at Spark R&D. Like many of our podcasts, we also get to talk a little bit of splitboarding, and we got some of that stoke flowing for the winter, which is coming up fast here. So with that, I am happy to bring you episode 5 of the Spark R&D podcast. All right, I'm sitting here at Spark HQ in Bozeman, Montana, and I'm sitting here with Ethan Marcoux. Ethan, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
You're welcome, Dan. It's good to be here.
So maybe we can just start by saying, you know, telling us a little bit. This is our Manufacturing Day podcast, so we have you on for a reason, of course. What's your job title here at Spark?
My job title is assistant machine shop manager. I am also one of the tooling and design engineers here at Spark.
And how long have you been working here at Spark R&D?
I've been at Spark for a little over 6 years now.
Wow. So you've been here. Are you the longest tenured employee besides Becca and Will?
I am not, no. We have one other engineer that's been here a year longer than I have.
Right on. And that would be Ryan?
Yep, correct.
What is your degree in?
I got a degree from Montana State University in mechanical engineering technologies.
And how did you become interested in engineering? I know some people are always tinkerers or just have the mind for it. How did you become interested in it?
I was always, from a really young age, interested in mechanics and things like that. Used to take apart my parents' VCRs, destroyed a couple of those as a kid. They, I'm sure, weren't too happy with it. At a certain point, they just started giving me broken things that I could take apart instead of destroying the good stuff that was at the house.
I was just the breaker of things, not the fixer.
Most of the time, I was not able to fix it. But
you had the aptitude and the interest in at least giving it a shot.
I did, yeah.
Great odd. You were in school when you began here at Spark, correct?
I was, yep.
And did you find that working in the machine shop helped you with like school for some kind of like applications of what you were learning at the university?
A little bit. I think the biggest thing that it did for me was realize that I did not want to be in school anymore and I needed to finish my degree. So I think working here pushed me to work a little harder in school instead of just be a ski bum like I was prior to working here. And I think that definitely helped me finish school. May it, you know, be a few years longer than it should have, but it still was, I think, the big reason I actually graduated.
Maybe, could you just give me a little elevator speech of like, kind of, you said you're the assistant machine shop manager. What's, you know, if your grandma called and she says, what do you do at Spark R&D? What would you say?
On a day-to-day basis, I make sure machines are running properly, make sure that the proper parts are coming off the machines. I also manage 6 employees on a day-to-day basis. We have 3 shifts. We have a morning shift, a night shift, and then a full graveyard shift. So during peak production, we're running 24 hours a day, so I have to make sure that we have stuff for all 6 guys to do, especially graveyard, because I do not see them ever. Occasionally I'll see them in the morning when I get here, but it's rare. So that, I also do a lot of quality control and then make sure we have materials in stock. I don't do the actual ordering, but I make sure we are not running too low on things. I'd say that's probably a large majority of my day-to-day.
You know, you were talking about making sure the machines are running properly. We have a pretty large machine shop with a lot of big CNC machines. Some of them have some interesting names. What's with the Flintstones references, and maybe label off a couple for the listeners just so they understand what I'm saying.
So our machines are all, other than our newest machine, are all based off of Flintstone characters. Just kind of a funny way to name the machines at first. The first machine we got was Betty, and then it moved to Wilma, and then it moved to Pebbles and Bam Bam, and then finally Dino for all of our production machines. Just kind of an interesting way to put a little fun into the shop every day, and it's a little easier when they're named like that than just machine 1, 2, and 3 to actually, you know, when somebody calls me with a problem at night, it's easier for me in my head to know what machine it is with a nice name like that.
So you've been here for 6 years. How has your role changed since you first started? Obviously, we said that you were a student when you first got going, but, you know, how has that evolved for you since the beginning?
When I first started, I was essentially assembling bindings. Kind of came in early on. Shop was pretty small. There wasn't a whole lot of employees at the time. So as I started assembling bindings and then we got into full production and running machines, I kind of worked my way into running machines. And then I was always very excited to learn how the machines worked and how to actually program the machines. So when the time came that our single programmer didn't have the time to run all the machines we had, I kind of moved my way into that position and just worked higher and higher up as years went on.
Yeah, and it should be said too, like, these are big, you know, van-sized machines with a complicated computer system that goes with them too. So when I come out there and see you guys working on these, I have no idea what you're doing, but it looks complicated and technical, and it looks like something you don't want to mess up too.
That is very true, yeah. And I've, you know, over the years, I've definitely made mistakes. I've definitely crashed the machines a couple of times. I think that's a big part in learning as a CNC operator and CNC programmer is, you know, there's always going to be problems, but I think at the beginning you run things a little slower, and at this point a lot of it's second nature to me, whereas watching some of our new guys come in at this point, you know, I can see that they're working a little bit slower than I am, but it's exciting to see growth in that department as well.
Just for a quick reference to, you know, you've been here 6 years and you're just talking about your growth. What bindings were we actually working on when you first started?
When I first started, the only binding that we had was the Blaze. And it was quite a bit different than even the Blaze we have today.
What are the main differences?
So the biggest difference, I think, at this point, the plate itself was quite a bit larger. It had more threaded holes in it for mounting the heel loop than our current base plates do. And it also had a aluminum bracket that helped hold the toe straps in, which we got rid of a few years ago.
You've seen a lot of evolution in the products.
I have, yeah. It's kind of mind-blowing to see where we've come from to where we are now, not only in the product, but also in the company and in our shop space.
Definitely.
Last 6 years.
Yeah, and I mean, we just added, 4,000 square feet last year with the new warehouse when we bought the building that we're now in. And that kind of moved everything. If you were looking straight on at the building, left, and then you guys were able to take on a lot more space. And then we added a couple of more CNC machines with that new space.
Yep, we did. And it's good for us. I mean, we're still very economical about how we organize our shop, but you know, the extra space definitely helped. I think every year we seem like we have a lot of extra space, and it quickly shrinks as the year goes on, but that is not necessarily a bad thing.
What is your favorite part about engineering and then working out in the shop?
I think my favorite part is, I mean, I think overall my favorite part is working with my hands. That being said, I also love seeing the product go from prototype stages over the course of a year, and then actually seeing people ride something that I had a big part in out on the mountain.
Thank you for that great segue, because my next question is, what have you been working on this summer? I know you beyond, you know, your elevator speech and just talking about a lot of the different things that you have in your day-to-day, week-to-week here at Spark. You've had one project in particular that's really been taking up a lot of your time and energy to get dialed in over the course of the summer and last spring, really.
Yep. So this past year, the biggest project I've been working on is our new crossbar clip that is coming out this fall. It's been a long trip, but, you know, seeing the progression every couple weeks, especially in the winter, you know, we're prototyping stuff. I'll make a few sets, hand them out to shop employees and the owner, Will, and then we'll all kind of ride them for a week, come back and talk, and every week there's subtle changes, and then finally, you know, once production season rolls around, we have something that we're ready to release to the public that we all are confident in. And I mean, that's a big part of why I became an engineer, is I wanted to make something that people enjoyed, that I also enjoy, and I was very fortunate to continue working here once I graduated for that reason, because I think my passion for splitboarding and snowboarding in general correlates a lot to my work. I don't think I would be as excited working if I was just making some random widget as I am making something for people to go snowboard on.
Sure. Can you talk just a little bit about the crossbar clip? I mean, I know we talked about just the process of it, but, you know, from a mechanical engineer standpoint, like, explain it to me a little bit. Like, how does it work, and why is it going to be so awesome?
So we kind of played on a lot of different ideas. We've been talking about it for a couple years now. The biggest things we wanted is something that actually helps pull the two halves of the snowboard together. So it does have a cam locking lever on it that will help pinch the board halves together when you're in ride mode. And it also has a 3-inch cross section that runs all the way across the two halves of the board. So it adds a little bit more strength torsionally in that aspect.
Yeah, so it'll make it ride at least a little bit more like a solid board, ideally.
Exactly, yeah. So the ultimate goal was to make your split board ride much more like a solid board than in years past. And in my opinion, it definitely does the job.
Cool. Well, it was a lot of fun, I know, for you working on it, but to watch the different iterations from my side too was really neat. Like, every time it was like problem solving for you guys. Like, every time you'd have a different version of it come out and we would test it, and there'd be, you know, every time it would get a little better, but there's something more to improve. And it was cool when we finally got really close to the end where you're just like, wow, like, this is the vision, you know. It was neat to see that come, and I'm sure it's even more so for you.
It is, yeah. That's why I do what I do, I think, to progress things in that aspect.
So, shifting gears a little bit here, summer in Bozeman, super fun. Remember we had a blog a month ago or so, just checking in with everyone, what Spark employers are doing. There's plenty to do here in Montana. What have you been up to this summer?
I've been doing a lot of mountain biking this summer. I bought a bike pass at Big Sky, so I've been doing a lot of lift access biking, which is more enjoyable, but I will say I have to get myself back into a workout regimen a little bit, because I am not at the place I'd like to be coming into winter season here shortly. Just, I'm not as in good a shape. Riding lifts up is great, but you don't nearly get the cardio you do when you're, you know, riding trails around town where you're having to ride up as much as you do down. So,
have you thought about maybe jumping on the splitboardic track?
I have, but timing, I think, is a big part of it.
There's only one splitboardic track as we know of right now in existence, too. It's in hot demand.
It is, yeah. I've been trying to get my hands on it, but it seems like there's other people higher up that
are taking up their splitboardic track time.
Exactly.
True or false, you are excited for winter?
I am extremely excited for winter.
And as a follow-up, how excited are you to splitboard with me next winter?
I am very excited to splitboard with you, Dan. It's I'm getting very excited for Shred Wednesdays and getting back out there on the skin track.
Another excellent segue. Maybe for all the listeners out there that don't know, Shred Wednesdays are a day during the week that employees can kind of change their schedule so that they're still getting the hours that they need, getting their job done, but they can take a full day or a half day off on Wednesdays to just go get after it. And that's something Ethan and I have done multiple times during the season.
It is, yeah, and it's, you know, this may or may not be true, but it does seem like a lot of times Wednesdays seem to have the best snow of the midweek. I don't know if that's just by chance or what, but, you know, I've lived in Bozeman 7 years, and I, as a student, had my schedule organized so I could try to ski every day of the week for a while, and Wednesdays are, I don't know why, but I had some of the best powder days of the year this year on a Wednesday.
We had a really good day up at Fairy Lake Mountain Resort.
We did, yeah.
Got back there, sledded back there, which is actually faster than driving in the summer when it's open, which is kind of nice.
It is, yeah. I've actually driven the road a couple times this summer to do a bike trip out there, and it takes, I'd say, at least twice as long to be out there in a car as it does on a snowmobile.
Nice. And you having a sled, do a fair amount of sledding to, like, access zones, which is, we call it kind of like split sledding. You know, you can get back farther in and then split from there. What got you into snowmobiling?
I think it was actually the first time I went up to Fairy Lake in the winter. It's about a 7-mile hike in, and when you get passed by dozens of snowmobilers going 10 times your speed and see them out there once you get out there, and they're having a great time, and they're getting far more ski laps than you are with your 14-mile round trip of hiking, it kind of changed my perspective a little bit. I never really was that interested in snowmobiling. I'd ridden a couple as a kid, but it never really was something I thought that highly about until that day, and ever since then, I don't think I will ever go without one. It's one of the best backcountry tools I think I have found. As much as they can be frustrating and they break, they're still well worth it on all those good days.
Yep. And you're back there with Lily, your girlfriend, a lot.
Yep.
Do you have any advice for backcountry enthusiasts when they're trying to persuade maybe their significant others to purchase a sled? Because it's an investment and maybe a tough conversation, but I know Lily got her sled, and now you guys get out even more often, which I'm also grateful for, because once in a while I use her sled, which is great. But do you have any advice for people trying to have that conversation?
For me, I think I may not have gone about it the best way, but I kind of kept pushing her that having her own sled would be a lot more fun to get out there. It would take us less time to get out there, and it would be, as you said, an easier way for both of us to go if we each had our own. And so I think that was the biggest one, just the fun aspect. And I think, you know, this has been 5 years now since she's had her own sled. And this year in particular, there was one day we were out there that she was very grateful that I pushed her to purchase a sled, even though at the beginning she was pretty reluctant.
So there you go, everyone. Push the fun aspect of it. It's worth it.
It is.
What are you most looking forward to this winter?
That's a good question. I do have a couple big lines I've been looking at over the past few years in the Bridgers, as well as a few lines down south of Big Sky that I'd like to get to. Last few years, timing just hasn't worked out. A couple of lines in the Bridgers, you need a pretty high snowpack to ski them, and we just haven't had that over the last couple of years, so I've kind of had to change my mind a couple days getting out there, getting ready to do it, and then realizing it just wasn't going to work out that day. Other than that, just skiing and riding my snowmobile as much as I can.
So, in the last change of gears here, too, for the questions, we're playing our Spark R&D kickball game this Thursday, and last year you had a tremendous kickball game, and you even went home with the prestigious Golden Boot Award. Do you think you're going to be able to follow up your performance last year with a Golden Boot Award this season?
I would hope so. The biggest thing, I may or may not be going to our Spark R&D kickball event this year. I have some prior arrangements that might force me not to go to the game, but if I do go, I will definitely be working as hard as I can to get that second golden boot to add to my mantle.
Very prestigious. You are a legend around here. I wanted to ask one question that actually wasn't on the sheet here, too. Getting back into the manufacturing side of things, you've been here for a long time. You have a lot of experience. Do you have any advice, and feel free to take a second if you need to, for people thinking about getting into mechanical engineering, anything like that, as far as whether it's programs in university or job experience, anything like that for people that are considering work in the manufacturing sector?
I will tell you, it's, especially mechanical engineering, is not necessarily the easiest of degrees. It took me many years to graduate, partially because I was a ski bum for the first half of that, so I did not do the greatest in a lot of classes. But, you know, for me, I've always, you know, if you're a very mechanical person and you enjoy tinkering and things like that, I think it's a good route to go. Here at MSU, the mechanical engineering technology department is a little different than a traditional mechanical engineering degree in that it's more hands-on based than a lot of mechanical engineering degrees are, whereas most of them are, it's a lot of theoretical work and you learn a little bit of the basics of running machines and welding and aspects of engineering like that, whereas with the mechanical engineering technologies degree, it is far more hands-on. There's quite a few more courses that that you're welding, you're running machines, you're actually making things as opposed to just running a bunch of calculations.
We have a good contingent of MSU engineering grads working here building bindings too.
We do, yeah. Everybody, all of our engineers are actually all MSU grads. We all, other than Ryan, started while we were still in school and then moved forward after we graduated into a full-time position.
Yeah, and that includes Will himself.
It does, yep.
Ethan, this has been a great conversation. I appreciate you taking a little time jumping out of the shop to come chat with me about what your job entails and kind of getting me actually a little stoked for the winter too as we angled the conversation that way. So looking forward to the days and nights getting colder and we can get back on the skin track and go get after it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was great to talk to you too, Dan. It's I am as excited as you are, I feel like, to get back out on the skin track and feel that cold air on my face.
Yeah, thanks, Ethan.
Yeah, you're welcome, Dan.
Big thanks again to Ethan for joining us on the podcast today. I really enjoyed our conversation and learning a little bit more about what his job here at Spark R&D entails. For more information on Manufacturing Day, head on over to mfgday.com. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast. All the feedback we get is definitely really important to us and helpful. Thank you all for listening, and this has been episode 5 of the Spark R&D podcast.